Welcome to the Centre Square podcast on Sports FM 91.3, your football headquarters. I'm Bray Loveridge, and joining me is Ethan Roth and Noah Tonkin. Boys, how are we?
Yeah, good, Bray. Good to be here in the studio. How are we, Noah?
Yeah, I'm not bad as well. Good to be here.
Of course, we're going to discuss the upcoming weekend of football, the EJ Witten Legends game. We're also going to chuck in the new segment, Trade Tables. Of course, In Strife, the sports quiz as well, and the Q&A with our big special guest. Now, boys, our special guest today, pick 44 in the 2012 AFL National Draft from East Fremantle, 25 games for Sydney. His debut was against North Melbourne in 2016 at the SCG. He has a younger brother playing for Collingwood, now at St Kilda. He was delisted at the end of 2015, but then picked up by the same club in the rookie draft and captained a undefeated reserves Sydney Swans team, and then was given the famous 31 jumper that was worn by Brett Kirk, and now is a current Subiaco Lions superstar on the waffle. Harry Marsh, how are we?
Good, thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Big show, of course. Ethan, we're going to hand you over now to ask the questions.
So we've gone back to back Centre Square podcast after having Angus Liveland on last week, so it's good. Gus left us with a few things to mention. Why are you called the Naked Man, remembering we are on radio?
Good one, Gussie. The Naked Man. No, that comes from one of my first years at Sydney. It was at the end of the season, so the season was well and truly over. But I rocked up to one of the boys' places for a bit of a barbecue and then to go out to dinner that later on that night. Rocked up and a few of the older blokes thought it'd be pretty funny that as soon as I walk in, just to completely drench me with the hose. So this is about midday. So that was all pretty funny. But so anyway, I hung up all my stuff and I was like, ah, oh, it's a great day. So hung up all my clothes, walking around butt naked. Every time I actually went to check to see if my clothes were dry, someone would just squirt them again. So it worked out. I was naked for a little bit, but unfortunately the nickname stuck, and thanks to Jordan Lockyer, who was my housemate at the time, I think it's made its way to Subiaco. So it's not a great one. I'm looking forward to getting rid of that nickname, to be honest.
So we'll get into the serious stuff. So obviously, growing up, Margaret River, 277 kilometres south of Perth. How was growing up, and like, when did you start to play footy?
Growing up, Margaret River was unreal. Really nice country town. I think I started playing football when I was about nine. And then I played every year from then. I think I did one pre-season for soccer and thought that really wasn't for me. So I stuck with footy and, just absolutely loved it.
Yeah. You did come from a rather successful footballing background. Your grandfather won 2 Sandover medals, 2 Best and Fairest and 2 Simpson medals. Best on ground, grand final, as well as being state captain. So would have been a huge mentor, obviously, growing up.
Yeah, it's a decent rap sheet from Grandad. And he's always been really good for us. But, he'll only offer advice if you sort of come and ask him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really like, interjecting or putting his opinions on my brother and I. But, it's great to have someone of his quality, just to be able to bounce ideas off and just have a general chat. And, he still comes down to all the games and, we still catch up for coffee once a week with a few of the old boys down at the left bank. And, he's done pretty well in his career.
Yeah.
And it's pretty proud. I'm pretty proud to have him as a grandfather.
Yeah. So did you feel any pressure growing up with obviously being that good at footy and that having that sort of resume? So did you feel any pressure? When did you realise footy could actually be something for a football job?
I don't really think I've felt any pressure per se. Like, I think you'd have to be a pretty special player to come close to how my granddad played the game. So, you know, if you came anywhere close to him, I'd be pretty happy. And but I think I probably would have been about 15, 16 where I sort of thought I'd give footy a real crack. Yeah. It was at that point where I played a lot of basketball as a kid, so I needed to, you need to make the decision between having a, you know, putting all your time into basketball or football. And thanks to my mum, who told me that I'd be an idiot if I didn't pick footy, because the chances of making it in the NBA are very slim. Yeah. So I decided to go with footy, and I think overall it was a good decision.
Yeah. So moving over to Sydney, how was the first glimpse of AFL? Like, was it what you thought it would be? And what was the transition like?
The transition was pretty massive. Obviously, growing up, like Margaret, it was a pretty small little town, and then you move to Sydney and the CBD and the freeways, and there's highways going everywhere. There's absolutely no, it seems like there's no thought out process to where the freeways run. So I got lost that many times. And then it's obviously just such a step up in terms of football.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sydney's such a great club. And so I was really, really happy to be going there. But yeah, I mean, just the professionalism of it, you really taken in when you first get there, and you know, it was a really good learning experience.
So yeah, you did mention a successful club. So you were delisted at the end of 2015 without playing a game, but I believe Reece Shaw, who's now the North Melbourne full-time coach, he really helped you out and gave you some advice, which sort of led you to some consistent game time and footy.
Yeah, that's right. I think I probably needed to change the way that I played a little bit. Sydney, I already got drafted when they just won the premiership, so it's a pretty strong team to try and crack into. I was really drafted as a midfielder, but sort of found my way into the back line. We sort of thought that would be the best way for me to get a crack at senior level. And yeah, probably for the first couple of years, I almost tried to do everything by the book. And I think that can be detrimental sometimes. You really need to sort of back yourself in and how you play and what got you there in the first place. But yeah, working really closely with Shorey, he helped me out so much, and to the point where, you know, I was lucky enough to be given another chance. And from that point on, I worked pretty closely with Shorey, and managed to debut from that year, which was a big turnaround.
So getting delisted at the end of 2018, many thought you were unlucky. So what was the club sort of looking to get a lot of new players in? Because it seems, you know, like the Sydney era is coming to an end, and many think they'll be at the bottom for a few years. So did you feel like unlucky or?
Going through it before, you sort of, you do understand that it's really a business.
Yeah.
You know, they're essentially a company, and they needed to make the best choices going forward. So I sort of learned that at the end of 2016 or 15, whenever I got delisted the first time. The second, you know, I got delisted last year. they still had, you know, some really good players in Jared McVeigh, Heath Grundy, Nick Smith, you know, these kind of boys who every day of the week you'd probably pick them over a young kid.
Yeah.
But, that's just the way that they chose to go. And, they've got some great talent coming through, and hopefully the rebuilds, you know, even if it is a rebuild, if they're calling that at the moment, I don't know, it's not too long for them.
Yeah. So you were close to being picked up again. I believe West Coast were very interested. But coming back to the Waffle, what made Subiaco stand out for you, and why Subiaco over other rival clubs?
I think I lived with Jordan Lockyer for my first 2 years in Sydney, and became a really close mate. And so, you know, whenever I was back in Perth, we'd catch up, and he just absolutely loved Subiaco, loved playing for him, loved the boys. And, you know, they've had a lot of success over the years. So for me, I sort of thought, coming off an AFL list, I'd probably like to be a part of that that culture and that kind of team, just to, you know, have a good bunch of boys, have a bit of fun, and get a few wins along the way.
Yeah. So obviously with Subiaco at the moment, you've got the week off through getting a minor premiership. How do you see the next few weeks sort of panning out, hopefully lined back-to-back premiers and your first Waffle flag?
Yeah, that'd be good. But, we don't know yet who we're going to play in the first or the second week of finals. So we'll head down and watch the game this weekend and go from there. And then, you know, probably take a little bit of an easy week this week and then really ramp up into next week. And, you know, finals are such a different brand of footy. So training and knowing exactly what your opponent's going to be doing and try and outmaneuver them, I guess, is probably the way to go. So, yeah, really looking forward to the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Last one we got here. With time off, how do you balance footy with normal life? And I suppose, how do you see a lot of family and friends now that you are back home?
Yeah, I do. So I'm back. I've back moved in with mum and dad, and so I moved out and came back in with a girlfriend and a dog. So I'm sure they're pretty happy about that. But so obviously I see a fair bit of them, and then yeah, got a lot of mates back here that you don't get to see too much when you're over in Sydney. So it's good. It's good to be able to, you know, reconnect and have that time with some friends and family.
Yeah. So we'll hand back over to Bri for the tips.
Yeah, of course, the EJ Witten Legends game is on Friday night, so we're going to go through that quickly. Obviously, Victoria have their coach, Dermot Brereton, and the All-Stars have Wayne Carey as coaches. So, boys, what do you think? Who do you think will be key players of the two sides?
Well, I think Victoria will win.
Yep.
And I'm not going to lie, I haven't checked the team sheet. Over to you, Rothy.
Well, the key players, I reckon, will be Bob Murphy, Cameron Ling, Boomer Harvey, Bartel, Stephen Milne and Brad Johnson. Those are the big stars, I would say.
Yeah, and then of the All-Stars, they have what looks like a pretty decent side. They'd be strong, I think. Obviously it's not a team you see every week like every other side.
Yeah,
so
they're all just getting older and bigger. Yeah, exactly. So
I reckon Boomer would still have 30 plus though.
Yeah,
obviously he's that good.
So for the All-Stars, I reckon key players would be people like Didak, Andrew Cracker, McLeod, Daniel Kerr, Ackermanis, Djakovic, Leon Davis, Richardson and Mark Rashido. A few we got a Brownlee medalist in there, so yeah, should be good.
What's your tips, boys? We'll start off now.
You've gone
Victoria.
Yeah, Victoria after the siren, super goal.
It'd be cool.
That happened with John. I'm pretty sure that happened with Jonathan Brown, one or 2 years ago after the siren.
First Fev, I'm pretty
sure.
Yeah. But it is AFL style as well.
I'm going to go the All Stars. I don't like the Victorians, so I'm going to say the All Stars.
For me, I'm going to go Victoria, I reckon. Yeah, Bobby Murphy and Boomer will tear it up.
Probably go Victoria myself. But yeah, it'll be a good game, AFLX style.
It's at Amy Park, so that should be interesting. Friday night footy, not the normal, but
And we'll also, I reckon, chuck in the Brownlow medalist predictions. We've had 23 rounds of football, 22 each played. So we'll start off with you, Noah. Who do you think will probably win the Brownlow?
If you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said Fife, but with Dangerfield's form, I think it'll be a draw, Fife and Dangerfield.
Oh, haven't had a draw for a few years, but going for the Dockers, my heart wants to go with Fife, but I think Cripps will get over the line, so I think he's had a lot of good games, so yeah, I think it's his medal.
Yeah, for me, I reckon Paddy Cripps has had an outstanding year. I reckon a roughie, well, not really a roughie, would be Lachie Neale. He's had a pretty decent year as well.
Had a great start. I think he had 40 plus disposals in the first three rounds. So
yeah,
and he had 51 on the weekend.
So I reckon it'll be a tough race, but I'm going to go with Paddy.
Yeah. Well, I checked the Brownlow predictor the other day. Said Dangerfield leading by two going into the end of the season. So. I don't really think that Dangerfield will win it, so I think Cripps, but Lachie Neale's also had a good one.
It'll be interesting to see how close the predictor is to the actual count, because obviously the umpire's different and they have different
views. I'm going to go Patrick Cripps for that one. Noah, you're going to get us into first time with this new segment called Trade Tables, and you'll explain more of it.
Yep, as Bray mentioned, new segment, Trade Tables, created by Rothy. So it pretty much goes, I'll say a player's name and Ethan, is it Ethan and Harry will say staying or leaving, and they'll say it at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'll start things off. Bradley Hill.
Leaving.
Ed Langdon.
Leaving.
Tim Kelly. Leaving.
Staying.
Who said leaving?
I said leaving.
Yeah.
Brody Grundy.
Staying.
Yeah, I reckon Brody Grundy staying as well, I reckon.
Jack Martin.
Leaving.
Jonathan Patton.
Leaving.
Brad Crouch.
Staying.
Staying.
Tom Papley.
Staying.
Hugh Greenwood.
Leaving.
Staying.
Zach Jones.
Leaving.
Oh, leaving.
Brandon Ellis.
Staying. Leaving.
Ooh, and that's all we got for the trade tables. Pretty interesting, interesting results there.
Yeah, a couple of votes. Yeah, Noah, you also go on to In Strife.
Yep, In Strife this week. Pretty much any players or people in the sporting industry that are under the pump. So, obviously, West Coast with absolutely choking and finishing fifth. I did predict that they'd lose to Hawthorn, but I didn't think that...
I don't know if they can win now, like, the Premiership. They're going to have to do it the hard way, like, before. I think they're the first... If they do it, they'll be the first West Australian team to win outside the top four.
Well, they'll be the only one as well. Fremantle haven't won a flag. So.
Oh, well... It's not the point, Bray.
Yep. Next one. Tex Walker as captain for the Adelaide Crows next year. I think Rory Sloane's knocking down the door there.
Tex has been very... He looks slow out there. Like, he just doesn't... And when he goes to the mark, like, he just doesn't seem like he wants it. Yeah. So, I don't know.
He did have a good
game
on the weekend, but...
Yeah.
It'll be tough to see him captain the Crows again. And Geelong Cats fans for always complaining about having to play at the MCG.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It's pretty much just down the road. It's not that far.
Like, you can't get a Geelong and Collingwood game at NBA Stadium. And it's like, well, Simmons, as it used to be called. But, like, it's going to get, like, 80,000, 90,000 there. You can't really have it. Yeah. Like, it's prime time, you know what I mean? So
what does GMHBA hold? Like, 30, 40?
Yeah.
Not much.
It's not much, yeah.
And so. Plus, like, if they're going to have to, if they want them in the flag, they're going to have to play at the MCG anyway. Yeah. So may as well get used to it.
Like, I think it was... Against Fremantle, and Fremantle's, was it premiership winning?
2013.
Yeah, they beat them down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one with Fremantle, there's not much Fremantle supporters in Melbourne. So they're not like a big club like Collingwood, so you'd rather a big crowd.
But, because if Eagles win against Essendon, which I think they will, and then Geelong lose against Collingwood, it'll be interesting to see where the semi-final's at, because West Coast obviously aren't a massive club, and they won't
last in Strife is Tim Payne and the Aussies for choking again. All out for 67, they England. Got England.
Yeah.
And then choked. Ben Stokes pretty much carried England and got them over the line.
Yeah, well, we don't.
So, 1-1.
Could even say the umpires.
Yeah, I mean, Nathan Lyon, all he had to do was just grab the ball. Yeah. And it's easy to say, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the end of In Strife, so I'm handing over to Bray for a Q&A from our viewers. Yeah,
well, this is off the Instagram, so we'll start off with the first one. From AFL_injury_updates. Did you have any setbacks when you were younger, and what made you determine to get to big stage, Harry?
Yeah, I did. My first year I had tendonitis in my hamstring, so I think I only played about 8 or 9 games in my first season, then just got ruled out for the rest. And from that, you know, I was pretty determined just to make sure my body didn't break down to that extent again. So I put a fair bit of work into my legs and hamstrings and strength and that sort of thing. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, playing AFL was always my sort of childhood dream. So I was trying to do everything I could to make it.
Yeah. Cal? You've joined us, so hand it over to you.
This question is from SydneySwans_SC. Are your main aspirations still to play at the highest level? And he said he loved you at Sydney, mate, and thought you provided some solid defence.
Sydney Swans might draft me again. I'd love to play AFL again. That was one of the main reasons I moved back to Perth, to sort of pursue a few leads in that, I guess, but definitely at least for the next sort of couple of years. Looking forward to, you know, try my best to get back in and try and have another crack at it.
Next question from at AFL Highlights. If you could choose a position to play, where would it be?
I do love playing in the midfield. I think, yeah, I sort of found a really good position for me off half back in terms of Sydney and that sort of thing. But also, whenever I played in the reserves there, I was playing in the midfield. So I love that. So that's probably my preferred position.
Yeah. Next one from AFL underscore greatness. What was it like to play with Buddy?
Pretty special. A lot of the time I'm in the back line, so you get to see the whole game sort of unfold before you, and you can't help but just watch sometimes. You become a spectator out on the field instead of playing the game. He pulled out a couple of just freaky stuff, and he'd do it. The thing that I sort of found is everyone knows that he's such a freak of a player, but then you see the stuff that he does at training, and it's so constant that I think that's a side that it's what really sort of showed me just how good he really is. It's he doesn't just do it on the big stage, he just does freaky stuff at training all the time, and it's just normal for him.
Yeah. Right, next one from the Centre Square. And yes, we are
not the same. It isn't us. Not the same. Great minds think alike.
Yeah, exactly. It's another account. What was the biggest challenge of being an AFL player, and what was your favourite stadium to play at?
Biggest challenges? I think probably just the up and downs of AFL. I was a bit of a fringe dweller for my time there. So, every week you'd sort of not know if you're going to be in the side or out of the side, and that can take a bit of a hit on how you're feeling and your confidence and all that sort of thing. So that's probably the biggest challenge that I sort of found. But in the scheme of things, AFL players have got it pretty good, and when you sort of have a look at it overall, it's a pretty good job to have. My favourite stadium would have to be the SCG. When you get a packed stadium packed stadium there, it's the crowd and the atmosphere is just unreal. And I just absolutely loved playing there every time I did.
Yep, cool.
All right, next question from Gus Lickerland. Can you tell us why you won't be coming on the end of your footy trip? Do you not like the boys?
Gus Lickerland. That sounds harsh. Familiar. I'm not coming on this year's footy trip. I'm doing a bit of travelling myself around, where are we going? America, Italy, London, and Paris. So I'm doing a little bit of a trip by myself, my girlfriend, and both of our families. We're sort of jumping around and trying to see as many people as we can.
Jeez. That sounds better than the footy trip. Where's the footy trip? Yeah.
I think I've been left out of a few of the footy trip meetings, but I think it could be in Bali this year, but I'm not sure if they've finalised a location. But they're always good fun.
Yeah, nice.
With the budgie smugglers.
The budgie smugglers, yeah. Gus is all over it.
From Dyson High.
You don't mean so?
Who has been your hardest opponent?
Hardest opponent would probably be Jeremy Cameron. He's just an absolute nightmare of a player, to be honest. He's quick, he's got good hands, and he's smart. He really makes you think. And
kick 9 on the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I had absolute nightmares every time I had to come up against him. And he was definitely the hardest I've played on.
Yeah.
All right, thank you to all the Instagram followers out there that sent through the questions. But we're going to hand it over to the sports quiz, which is hosted by Callum. We're going to be doing 5 questions, Ethan versus Harry. And so, Cal, I'll hand it over to you.
Yep, so...
just whoever says their name first and then just say the answer.
Easy. All right, so question 1. Who is number 22 for the Sydney Swans?
Harry.
Harry.
When? Oh, now? Yeah. The great Dean Towers had it for my time there, but now it is Nick Blakey.
Oh,
that's correct.
1-0.
Right, question two. What Collingwood player announced his retirement yesterday?
Ethan. Harry. Ethan. What does that mean? Tyson Goldsack.
Yeah, correct. 1-1. Right. Question three. How many goals did our special guest, Harry Marsh, kick in his career?
Ethan. Was it 0?
Yeah,
it's great. Donuts.
Stitched him up.
Yeah.
Well, we kicked one on the weekend. Yeah, so
what's that,
2-1? Yes, 2-1.
Question four. Who won the 2019 Coaches Association Award?
Got an answer.
Noah?
No. What, for the best coach?
No.
Oh, Ethan, say Paddy Cripps.
Incorrect.
No. Got announced today.
It was all over. It was like the Players Award voted by the coaches.
Yeah. Oh, right.
It was, I've actually got no idea.
Was it Paddy Dangerfield?
No. Incorrect. He plays for a Melbourne club, though.
Melbourne club.
Tim Kelly?
Incorrect.
Who else would it be?
Plays for the Bulldogs.
Bob Pompelli.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he get it? Yeah. He had a good year, but I didn't expect him to get it.
This is 2-all.
It was 2-all last week as well.
All right. So who am I question? All right. So I wear the number 11.
Yeah.
I'm 23 years old. I made my debut in 2016.
What club?
That's for the end. I kicked 37 goals this season. I played every game this season. I played for the Sydney Swans.
Ethan.
Harry.
Was it?
I didn't hear Ethan his speak.
Who
are you on? Is it me?
Yeah.
Tom Papley?
Correct.
Oh, he's beating me.
You've lost.
Close one.
Got him.
Until it's next week.
For you, yes. Right,
yeah.
Ethan's
been knocked off.
So yeah, now Ethan's lost. We'll chuck in someone else to verse the next special guest that comes on. We don't have anyone next week, do we? Yeah.
Just quickly, boys. Who's everyone's tip for the premiers?
I'm gonna go Collingwood.
Oh, you would.
Yeah.
Bri.
Double chance. So.
I think Richmond. No, Brisbane will lose. No, Brisbane
Richmond.
Will win at the Gabba.
And then Richmond will do it the hard way.
I think Richmond will win or get in the grand final, so I'm going to go Richmond.
Noah?
Richmond as well.
Yeah, Richmond, I reckon they're too strong. So.
I'm going to go Brisbane. Yeah. I reckon, get their tails
up
and
question marks
charge
if they
into
can play
it.
At the G, but I think they proved, even though they lost to Richmond, they proved they can still play there. Mm. But, that's about it.
Yep. Well, that's the show, isn't it, boys?
Yes.
We're all done.
Yes.
Once again, to everyone, thanks for listening. Make sure you check out the Instagram, @CentreSquarePodcast, as well as the Facebook page. We're going to get a little signing of the footy.
Second signature on the ball.
It's a signature on the ball. Second signature
one. Many
on the ball.
To come.
Yes, exactly.
Cheesy.
But, yep. Thanks for listening once again, guys. You're listening to Sport FM 91.3, your football headquarters. But until next time, it's goodbye and enjoy the rest of your day.